This coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Vayigash, Erev Shabbos, going into Shabbos, happens to be the yahrzeit of Harav Pinchas Taitzeh, Chatzadik Livracha, a man who left such an indelible impact on the Torah community in the United States of America at large, but also specifically the Kehila of Elizabeth in New Jersey. And of course, it's our hope that the Shir this week should serve as a Zechus Elias Neshama, together with all the wonderful things that Hagona Rav Taitzeh Tzal represented to the Jewish community at large. The Parsha begins with Yosef and Yehuda, right where we left them after last week's drama. And Yehuda jumps up and he says, Ki chamocha ke paro, I want you to know you're just like Paro to me. Now, why does Yehuda begin his discussion with this particular point? So Rav Matisyos Derashon Zecher Tzadik Levracha pointed out that Yehuda saw through Yosef's charge. Yosef, if you recall from last week, had made the declaration that Binyamin should be charged more criminally than he would have for taking money. Normally, we assume that a person who steals, so he returns the gazela, maybe he pays off a fine. But the truth is, because this particular claim was that he took something that was more important, he stole Yosef's divining cup, and Yosef used that in order to see into the future, Binyamin should be taken in and forced to pay back with his life. So the fact of the matter is that Yehuda argues, there's no reason for that. You must be making that up. Why? Ki kamocha ke paro. You're no different than Paro. Paro also pretends to be more of a god. Yosef, you have to understand, you're only making this up that you're able to tell. How do I know that? Read the next pasuk. Adoni sha'alas avadav le'mor ha'yesh lachem avoach. You asked if I have a father or a brother. But the fact of the matter is, if you knew because your cup actually worked, you would never have had to ask us. So ki kamocha keparo, Yehuda was defending Binyamin at that particular moment in time. What a fascinating perspective from Rav Matisyos Derashon. Anyway, Yosef gets overwhelmed, and he does declare ani Yosef, and he tells the brothers, v'yatal teyatzu, v'al teyatzvu, v'ayichar b'enechem, ki mechartem osihena, ki lemechia shalachani elokim lifneichem. It was to support life that Hashem sent me ahead of you. Yosef seems to comfort his brothers with the ever-popular, don't worry, all's well that ends well argument. The problem is that the Gemara seems to say the opposite from this particular interpretation. When the Gemara discusses the issue of a woman who turns around and has a hafara of her neder, that is to say, when a woman is involved in hafaras nedarim, the Torah tells us, look, isha haferam v'ashem yislachla. If she went ahead and she took a neder, but she didn't know, and she violated the Torah law, and she violated the neder, however, at the time she violated the neder, she did not realize that her husband had already been made for the neder. So in her mind, she was doing an avera, but in regard to the reality, there was no avera, the neder had been nullified. That being the case, the Gemara still says, Hashem Yisachla. This leads the Gemara to a very popular comment that if a person had in mind, Lecho B'sar Chazir, V'hela B'yado B'sar Tleh, that if a person intended on eating ham, but what happens is he winds up with lamb instead of ham, still makes a person Chayev. We talked about this to a great extent in our Shabbos Shuvah Drasha this particular year. And so the Gemara says in those situations, a person has to engage in a kapara. So why is it different over here? What is it about the particular episode here with you, with the brothers and Yosef, that makes it a little bit different? So Moreno Rav Shechter Shalita would often point out to us that when it comes to mitzvahs bein adam lamakom, then each step in the process has to be pure and unblemished. And if it's not, a person's got to be chayev. But when it comes to the bein adam lechaveros, then the situation is judged based on how it results in the end. It's not that you have a right to go ahead and mess up in the beginning, but it's only reality that gets looked at. In such a situation, there's room for us to be more focused on the end. not what was in a person's mind. So Yosef tells the brothers to bring Yaakov Avinu down. And he tells them, B'yashavta beretz Goshen v'yisa karov elai, that Yosef says, tell Yaakov to come live in Goshen and be close to me. Now why does Yosef make the decision to have Yaakov live in Goshen? Why doesn't Yosef have Yaakov live with him in Egypt? So the Akedas Dover explains that there's a halacha that one's not supposed to outdo his father's fame while living in the same city. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. And by being viceroy, Yosef feared in that situation that he would be disrespectful to his father's deserved kavod, and as a result, he chose not to live in the same city. Be close by, but don't be on top, because I don't have an option. Look how far he went to be mechabed as Aviv. So anyway, Yosef goes, and he sends the brothers back, and he sends them back with wagons to take the family down. And the Torah tells us that when Yaakov saw the agalos, when he saw the wagons, so Rashi comments that Yosef had sent that special sign to clarify the fact that he was still alive. It was the wagons, because the wagons reminded Yaakov of the place that their learning became interrupted. They were in the middle of the sugya of Egla Rufa, and this was the opportunity to remind them. Now, why do those wagons simply symbolize that Yosef was alive? Maybe this was a trick. Maybe somebody shared it with somebody else. So the Gemara in Bava Metzia on Daf Pei Vav Amid Beis notes that whatever Avraham Avinu was able to do by himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu returned to him by himself. Anything that Avraham Avinu relied on a messenger in order to do, so Hashem also only utilizes a messenger, which seems to suggest that the use of a messenger is considered of a lower level than God doing something b'chvodo b'yatzmo, as we point out in the Haggadah Shel Pesach. So here also, that includes Yishmael's involvement in Hachnasas Orchim for the Malachim. Yet, we have to ask the question, why give an opportunity for Chinuch in Hachnasas Orchim be a bad thing? Why is it that having Ela Bakar Ratz Avraham Vayikach Vayitein El Hanar, taking a calf and giving it to the child, why is that considered something that would be bad? Don't we all want our children to get the opportunity to practice the mitzvahs? Don't we want to teach them how it should be done? So Rabbi Elazar Menachem Anshach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the late Panovich Rosh Hashiva, points out that one can have the child have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, and that is called a chinuch process. But the importance of the mitzvah to the child becomes more imprinted on the child when the child sees the parent performing the mitzvah himself. Telling a child to do this doesn't leave the same impression as when the parent does it himself. So Rabbi Tzal Radinsky Shlita explains that this is exactly what Yosef was telling Yaakov over here. And citing Klayakar, Rav Radinsky explains that Yosef's sending of them wagons was not sending the wagons to remind about Egla Rufa, but rather he was actually involved in the mitzvah of Levia, of accompaniment, which was one of the things that leads to Egla Rufa not happening. And so therefore, what he was doing was telling Yaakov, I'm very much alive, not only in the existence, but also in my mitzvah service and Torah existence as well. And at that point in time, Vatechi Ruach Yaakov Avihem. That's when Yaakov begins to live it up. Well, on the subject of wagons, though, when Yaakov goes down, he doesn't begin to go down in the wagons. It's only after he goes through his experience with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he takes the family, Ba'agalos Asher Shalach Paro L'Seizoso, to go down in the wagons. Now, why is there a stress on the wagons over here? And why is it only after the conversation between Hashem and Yaakov? So the late great Rosh Hashiva of Yeshivat Ofakim, who was one of the mainstays of the Miri Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, Rav Chaim Kamil, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, he died in 2005. He explains that Yaakov Avinu assumed that the wagons were sent to Yaakov by Paro for use only if Yaakov were going to come to live in Egypt. But at the beginning of the trip, Yaakov Avinu was not planning on leaving Eretz Yisrael. He was only going to see Yosef. He wasn't going to stay with Yosef, and so hence he didn't want to steal from Egypt. If something was sent, but not with the intent to have somebody just come for a trip, but rather to insist that he go and then he come back, then maybe the one who sent was not planning on sending wagons for that purpose. But once Hashem spoke to Yaakov and he said, Anochi So then Yaakov knew that he was going to be there for a long haul. Once he realized that he was going to be there for the long haul, he realized that he was able to accept Paro's gesture, and so he went ahead and went down to Egypt. And the Torah tells us, Banav uvnei banav ito, banosav uvnos banav v'chol ashalo, hevi ito Mitzrayim. He brought everything down. And the Torah highlights here how the Shvatim came down to Mitzrayim separately. We've got about 15 psukim over here that simply identify all 70 people who came, 69 of the 70 who came down. But each one is put in its own class, the Shvatim and the mothers separately. Why the stress of the separation? Why not stress their unity? So Rabbi Yehuda Amital, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the founder of Yeshivat Har Etzion, he explains that the Parsha teaches us that each person in each group must be allowed to make its own contribution, that the greatness of the Jewish people is that each individual in each group complements the others. And anyone who accepts the basic principles of Judaism, the ideas of the divinity of Torah, the ideas of the Masorah, they should be allowed to operate independently and contribute to the whole. And once you have this basic common ground, the life of Torah, the rest is just a detail, and that should be treated that way. This chevra is more involved in tzionut. This chevra is more involved in chaklaut. These things are important things, but they're all parashas of the same Torah, and they all live to the same standards in the same Torah. In that situation, there is room to be more open. So then towards the end of the parasha, we read a tremendous amount of time about how Yosef set up economic policies, and we're told that the nation was moved from one end of the country to the other. And why does Yosef need to go that far? So the late, great Chassidish Rav of Divinsk, the Rogatchover, whose works began to be put out in Elizabeth, New Jersey, he explains that Yosef was concerned lest the rules of Chazakah allow the original owners to reclaim their sold lands. By moving the people and giving them different lands, Yosef removed the chance that they would have to be mevatel the sales. And so ergo, he protected the sale to Paro by making sure that the people were moved around and given other opportunities and places to live so that they would not return and they would not have a problem. And thus, the sale of the land of Egypt to Paro would be complete without any possibility for challenge. Finally, in the Haftorah, we're told, V'yata ben Adam kach l'cha etz echad Yechezkel, Anabi tells, is told to take a stick and to write Yehuda v'Yisrael chaveirav, and another to write Yosef v'Yisrael chaveirav, and to take the two sticks, v'yu le'echad b'yadecha, and to place them together in your hands. And why is this an ideal nevuah? It sounds as if just taking two sticks, putting them together, creates achdus. The Rabbi Simon Shalita once noted that achdus is not a concept that's created by species and speeches. It's created when one person feels the needs of the tzibur. It's when all of us take the tzarchei tzibur and put it above ourselves. And nowhere is that actualized more than when people put themselves together by working together b'yadayim. This is what the Navi wants us to take away. He wants us to understand that it's not enough to get up and talk about achdus. Everyone does that. What we need to go is stand up and be an achdus-oriented people. If we can do so, not only will we be achdus-oriented around the world, we'll be able to get up, v'na'ala l'tzion berina, Shabbat shalom to all.